morning about daylight, the Father woke me and said, you need to talk about true forgiveness. And so we will have a short study here on forgiveness. I've put up on the board here, Yah says, I give you blank for blank. Those blanks can be filled in with words. This is a formula for forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is a word that is broken down with smaller words for and give. If you have for and give and you turn it around, you give something for. There is the possibility that in the original language, for could have been spelled F-O-R-E, hyphenated, forgive would have been to give before. It turns out that Yah forgave the world before it was ever created. He gave his only begotten Son for us. It says that Yahshua was slain from the foundation of the world. He forgave us his Son. He gave his Son for us before we were created. True forgiveness is the gift of Yahshua, who was given for us. But in order for us to participate in that forgiveness, we need to understand what it really is. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 through 7. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. And we will be, as our custom is, reading from the King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yahshua Christ. I change the word Jesus to Yahshua when I read. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Yahshua the Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. There's a lot in those scriptures. Perhaps we could have a sermon or two taught and preached just from that passage. But today we're looking at forgiveness. It says in verse 4, he hath chosen us in him, that is in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Do you know that if you are not holy and without blame before him, you have not accepted his forgiveness? Very few people think about that. It was forgiven to you. The Christ, the Son of the living God, was forgiven to you. Given to you beforehand. Given for your sin. His blood is the propitiation, or his sacrifice is the propitiation or satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. He was slain from the foundation of the world for you and for me. But the scriptures teach that unless we are holy and without blame before him in love, we have not really accepted his forgiveness. Let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 9 through 14. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of Yah, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a wonderful and beautiful passage that is. We see a good thing to pray for in verse 9. We pray for you in desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Do you know the will of Yah for you? Do you know the will of Yah for your life? He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be holy and without blame before him. He wants you to be forgiven of sin. This is his will for you. And we might pray that you would have all wisdom and spiritual understanding. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of Yah, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. But don't ask wavering. Don't ask doubting. For the one who doubts is unstable, double-minded in all of his ways. I actually quoted that a little bit backwards, but it still means the same thing. And all of this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of Yah. Yah wants us to be increasing in his knowledge. Are we increasing? So many times, we find people that say, well, I'm saved. I got saved. And they feel like they're okay. Everything's fine. And yet Yah's will for their lives is that they might increase in the knowledge of Yah. That they might be holy and blameless before him. That they might be forgiven of sins. And then in verse 11, strengthened with all might. How much might? All might. The scripture sometimes refers to our Heavenly Father as the Almighty. The Almighty One. The prayer is that we and you might be strengthened with all might. According to His glorious power. Not according to any man's power. According to His glorious power. He is all powerful. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And then, for this, you will be giving thanks. You will be giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Empyrean War story that we're reading in the children's session, I should say, is the story of the saints in light. The story of the angels and how they went through the perplexity of the fall of the archangel, Lucifer. But Yah has made us fit to be partakers of that inheritance with those saints in light. And in verse 13 it says, Yah who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, darkness has a great power. And we're not just talking about the dark night or a room without light. We're talking about spiritual darkness. Lack of understanding, a lack of knowing what's real, what's going on in the world. Where did we come from? Where are we going? Why are we here? Are we here just to wear nice clothes, build a nice house, eat lots of good tasty food? Go shopping, buy things, bring them home? Is that what we're here for? Are we designed to eat, sleep, buy, eat, sleep, and waste time? Is that what we're here for? Is that the will of Yah for us? I think not. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. Now we have to have much faith to grasp that. He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. It's done. Have you accepted it? Do you believe it? Because if you believe it, you will instantly step into that forgiveness whereby you are holy and without blame before Him. Yes, we've been delivered from the power of darkness, and He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, in the Son, we have been set free. We have been set free through His blood. And what is significant about the blood? The life is in the blood. Yahshua's life was in His blood. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, and has set us free through His blood, which is the forgiveness of sins. What a beautiful passage that is. Let's go on now to Matthew 12:31. Matthew 12, 31. There is a sin which is unforgivable. Yah has forgiven us. Yah has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He has given us forgiveness of sins. We are set free and we are delivered from the power of darkness. Hallelujah! But there is a sin that's unpardonable. And we read of it in Matthew 12, 31 and other places. But Matthew 12, 31 is where we will begin this. Wherefore I say unto you, Yahshua is speaking here, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. The sin against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Let us turn to Joshua 24, and we see a little bit of the description of it there. Joshua comes before Judges. And just after Deuteronomy, Joshua 24. Joshua 24, 19 and 20. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve Yah, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If we stop there, we would be perplexed. We need to read the next verse, verse 20. If ye forsake Yah and serve strange gods, then He will turn and bring injury upon you and consume you after that He hath done you good. Some people might say, oh, I've been saved. I'm okay. It doesn't really matter what I do. I'll be saved. I'll be in heaven. Joshua sets forth the principle here that even after Yah has done good to you, if you turn from Him to serve other gods, He will consume you. He will not forgive you. It's a dangerous thing to trifle with a holy God. What is His will for us? His will is that we might be holy and that we might be blameless before Him in love. That way, we are forgiven. Because we have accepted the forgiveness. I have a pen in my hand. And I'm holding it out to someone. And I say, I want to give you this pen. It's yours. I want to give it to you. I have before given it to you. I have forgiven it to you. This person's sitting there, motionless. I'm holding this pen out to this person, and this person is sitting there and not budging. Can I turn loose of this pen? Yes, I can turn loose of it and it'll hit the floor. Can I turn loose of it into her being? She reaches out and she takes it. I turn loose of it. Now it's hers. She received it. The forgiveness is there. Yah has placed it before us. He said, here is my son. I gave him for you. He shed his precious blood for you. He poured out his life. Here he is. I give him to you. And people sit there motionless, staring at the gift. And some, staring at it, see what the cost is and say, I don't dare reach out and touch it. I don't dare reach out and grab it, but I'll claim it anyway. I'll claim it anyway. You see, they want to go up and over the wall like a robber. They don't want to enter the door. They don't want to enter through the door, which is the Son of Yah. They want to go another way. They have a better idea. They want to jump up over the wall and get into the city like a thief and robber. But they are not holy. They are not blameless. And they are not forgiven. The forgiveness was handed to them. The forgiveness was held out to them. But they would not reach out and take it. They wanted to jump over the wall. I've got a better idea. I'll just jump over the wall. And I won't have to exert all that energy of reaching out and taking that holiness. That was Lucifer's way. Lucifer wanted another way to exist in Yah's presence. And then others will just sit there and say, no thanks. I don't need forgiveness. I'm my own God. My wife shared with me about a person that she works for. Won't mention any names. This particular person evidently claims to be their own God. I can't imagine it. It's so foreign to me, I cannot imagine it. And I wonder if this person actually believes the thing they've said. How could anyone conclude they are their own God? Terribly deceived. Terribly deceived. And Joshua, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, has warned us, do not trifle with a holy God. Or even after he's done good to you and blessed you and brought you out of darkness and even translated you into this marvelous kingdom, if you should veer away and serve other gods, he will not forgive you. His will for us is to be holy and blameless before him. Let's go forward. We have several scriptures that show us the contingency or the requirement of forgiveness. Mark 4:12. Mark 4:12. Before we begin to read that, I wanted to just make a comment about something that I've said before, but it's well sometimes to repeat it. The church is, and even, you know, I don't exempt our church. All of the churches are in a terrible state of affairs in terms of Yah's will for his people. Yah's will for his people, as I've said several times now, is to be holy and blameless before him. Now, the churches are experiencing a situation that I like to symbolize or represent by a white shirt. A man goes to the store and buys a white dress shirt. It's beautiful. It's clean. It's pure looking. It's white. He wears it. He washes it, or she washes it, whatever the case may be. The shirt is worn, it's washed, it's worn, it's washed, it's pressed, it's hung up, it's worn. And that cycle continues day after day, week after week, whatever it may be. And anybody that looks at that shirt on that man says he has a white shirt on. And he himself goes to his closet and picks out his white shirt. And then one day, he's drinking noni juice. That's a special fruit juice for healing. And he spills it on his white shirt. And I'm not sure if it stains it or not, but I would, let's say grape juice. And it stains the shirt. And he can't get the stain out, and he can no longer wear the